Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
So something I want to share today, that scripture was never meant to terminate on test. It was never meant to terminate on test. It was meant to lead to Christ. So repeat what I said. The scriptures were never meant to terminate on test. Repeat after me. It should lead to Christ. It's not meant to terminate on test. It was meant to lead to Christ. Are we together? And the problem with the Pharisees was that they were just studying the scripture like, you know, in a religious way. It was more like a religion. Even in the present day, we can see that happening. Take, for instance, from the days of Paul in the book of Acts. He says something somewhere in, let me see if I can get that. I think it's in Acts 17. From Acts 17, 23. Alright, so scriptures are not meant to what? Terminate on death. I want to make sure all of you are wonderful theologians. Huh? I have never pastored a dull church. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Okay. If you want to be dull, go home. Please. You have to look excited. Why are you looking dull? Smile. You still broke, be looking dull. Listen. Smile. How much do you have? You are boning like that. Young lady, smile. You don't have to be telling Sarah to smile every time. I think you have tapped from Sarah and their roommates. Learn to smile every time, huh? So I want you guys to metamorphose as wonderful Christians, good theologians, make good preachers, good ambassadors of Jesus. Are we together? Scriptures was never meant to terminate on test. It was meant to lead to Christ. Never meant to terminate on test. And sometimes I feel like people, sometimes when I teach the word, I feel people don't look like they believe they can understand the word. Let me just pour out my heart. Some people look at us like, you know, let's just finish what we're doing and leave. The way they look at us, that's the kind of feeling I used to have sometimes. You know, when you see a student that wants to know something, there's a way they look at you. But when you see a student that doesn't want to know, that is just fulfilling the mandate or the religion of being in the class, you've seen them. They're just looking at you like this. Before you know, they'll now look like this. They'll be looking at the ceiling. Before you know, they'll now say, yes, sir. And they did not hear anything. But if you really want to learn, you'll be looking at your teacher's face. Isn't it? So please have faith that you will know. Alright? The goal of today's meeting and every preaching is that you know. We're not here. I've been preaching for many years, from when I was 16. I'm not trying to become a good actor before your eyes. Even marry, I've married. Probably before I preach to get a wife. Now that I've gotten a wife, I'm preaching for the glory of God alone. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? So, pay attention to learn. Because when you understand, that is our joy. And that's the goal. Are we together? And avoid all forms of distraction. I tell you, sometimes we take moments like this so casual, but they are the most strategic moments in a service. Satan does not want you to pay attention. I'm 100% sure. Now, he does not want you to what? Pay attention. But pay attention, okay? Scripture was never meant to terminate on tests. It was meant to lead to Christ. The Bible is not the destination. It is the road. Many have learned the road so well that they forgot where it was taking them to. They memorized the signs, debated the language, defended the grammar, and still refused the one standing at the end of the journey. The one who is the goal. I'm just quoting some things I wrote. Now, you can quote scripture and still miss the voice behind it. You can quote scripture and still what? Miss the voice behind it. You can master verses and still crucify the truth they announce. Meaning you know, memory verse, right? You can memorize it and still disagree with the truth. You can preach the text and never arrive at the person. It is very, very possible. Now, at a point in scripture, I think that was John 5:39. You see Jesus saying something wonderful. Okay, I'd quoted here before. We'll come back there. That's Acts 17:23, right? We'll be back there, but let's see this. He said, you search the scripture, for in them you think you have what? Eternal. So Jesus did not accuse people of not reading scripture here. He accused them of stopping there. Are we together? He said, you search the scripture, he said, yet you will not come to me, because you think in them. You know, if you look at the tail of it, he said, and these are they which what? Testify of me. Alright, so Jesus is like, you're searching the scripture. You know, of course, because you think in just searching you will find. No, it's not just, you know, you can't be expecting to be walking through a path, you know, and expecting that as you are just walking through this path, you know, the path is a destination. More like as you are there, you see what you want. There's a destination. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And so, some people religiously know how to memorize scripture. They can tell you where a particular part of scripture is, and it is possible that you can know all of those things and still not arrive at the truth. So Jesus here is telling them, you search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. They detested Jesus. They didn't want Jesus, the Pharisees. They didn't want to talk with Jesus. They believed he was false. And they were reading the scripture to find him. So it's so funny that you are anti-Jesus, you are against Jesus, but you are searching the scripture to find him. Hallelujah to Jesus. And it is very, very possible. So I wrote, that is the great scandal of religion. Proximity without encounter. The great danger of religion, one of it, is what? Proximity without what? Encounter. Knowledge without what? Surrender. Proximity, meaning you are close to God in terms of, I mean, what I mean is you are reading the scripture, this is the word of God, but yet you are not having an encounter because your heart is not open for truth. It's not ready for truth. Like the Pharisees who were reading the scriptures, but yet Jesus was standing before them and they wouldn't have an encounter because they detested Jesus. So proximity without encounter, knowledge without surrender, familiarity without transformation. Proximity without what? Encounter, knowledge without surrender, familiarity without transformation. That is why I wanted us to see Acts 17:23. Media put up that scripture again. For I was passing through, and Paul was speaking to a people who were religious. They had this problem. Firstly, I see proximity without what? Encounter. Knowledge without what? Surrender. Familiarity without what? Transformation. It says, for I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription: to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, Him I proclaim to you. He was arguing with these people. They gave him space to talk to them. All right? And he was daring to convince them. They were a religious set of people. And they were worshiping a God they don't know. Like he met, met a woman by the well. Can you remember? And he said, you are worshiping whom you do not what? No. Alright, she's used to the Torah, she's used to the scriptures, but she had not encountered God. And here is God standing before her, and she's even teaching God how to worship himself. Now, how did we get here? That we went like dig zigzag, and you know, we covered all the principles and beliefs and missed out the real God. How did we get there? If they were able to get to that point in their lives, it is possible that we also can get to that point in our lives. I mean, you traveled so far and left God where he is. I mean, God is sitting with you. God is talking with you and you are arguing with God. You are like, this path leads to God, and God is like, that's not true. It doesn't lead to me. And you are arguing with him. She was arguing with God. True worship is supposed to be done like this. True worship, blah, blah, blah. Religion is terrible. And all through this, Satan was excited. Hallelujah to Jesus. Because he's the father of what? All lies. Little wonder they said to Jesus, who are you? For instance, you know, I always tell some of my friends that, yes, Africa is very blessed, but I think there's something wrong somewhere. Even though many times I believe, Africans are not losers, right? We have good culture. We have good values. Are we together? Yes. One time I remember I was given an instance. I said, in the white world, you can look at your father and say Samuel. But in Africa, your neighbors will join your father to beat you up. Are we together? You know, I heard the story of a man that wanted to beat his child. So he took his child that they should go and see grandma. And when they got to the airport, the child now repeated the rubbish he was saying and slapped the boy. So the boy was trying to call 911. And he told him that it doesn't work here. And started slapping him. So it's wonderful. We have beautiful cultures. We respect our elders and etc. It's wonderful. Wonderful values. But there's a problem with... I just feel there's a little problem with... These are a honor of it. I think in Africa, it's more of who said it than what was said, whether it was true or not. So I think that side of honor has really affected us in really understanding truth, touching truth, as regards touching truth. A lot of times, not just in Bible days, in Africa, a lot of times it is not about what was said, whether it was true or not. It's about what? Who said it? What was the rank of the person that said it? You know, so I remember the woman, she asked Jesus, she said, Jacob, our father, dug this well for us. Can you remember? The well was dug by Jacob. So nobody should question the potency of that well. Why will you come and say there's a well that is better than this well if Jacob, our father, dug the well for us? You know, one time I was on the internet and I saw a church somewhere where they had a church and the well of Jacob was there. That well, that woman was standing beside. So in present day, there's a church and the well is at the center of the church. And you know, the person that went there, what they call it, pilgrim or something, was showing us Jacob's well and etc. And I was wondering how service there would be. Service in such a church. When we are done, if you have any problem, what do? Fetch from the well. And I was wondering what they were thinking, what all of them would be thinking. But that's more like a hindrance to encountering Christ. That's a limitation. As long as Moses is preached, a word covers their face. As long as religion is preached, there's a veil that covers our face. The Bible says that veil is only removed when one turns to Christ. Because Christ is the end of the law. Christ is the end of the Judaistic practices. Alright? Now we don't need to slay a lamb because Jesus is the lamb that's what? Taking away the sins of the world. So we stop the practices. Now we don't need to use oil because the Holy Spirit is living in and upon us. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? That's why we don't. But people still insist and want to use oil. So if your faith is more on oil than it is on Jesus and the Holy Spirit, then you are limiting your faith. Because when you don't have oil, what will you do? If you don't have oil and you're in a tough situation, what will you do? Will you not be healed if you don't have oil? Huh? Should your calling be altered without the affirmation of oil on your head? Let's take for instance, one, you are called to be a pastor. And because we cannot find oil, we cannot anoint you a pastor. Should that be? Is that okay? So for years, the church has practiced the oil of a thing. But it doesn't make it right. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? See, we must fight this thing because you see, what Satan is doing today is that he's not coming to fight us with obvious evil, obvious darkness. Satan is wiser than that. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? What Satan is doing is to make sure that all of these religious ideas are highlighted in our heart. He wants us to take them so strong and important because they are the closest thing to the truth. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Assumptions of the truth. You know, some of you, for instance, cannot slay any lamb because you know that Jesus is the lamb that's taking away the sins of the world. But you are actually using oil. You are actually using water. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? But there are people, do you know, till today, there's a church. There's a particular church that still slay lambs. So what is your difference between you and them? At least you don't slay any animal. But you are not far from them. Because even though you are not slaying any animal, you are still using what? Oil. And you are still using what? Water. But they use all the options. They use water, oil, and they slay animals. So the only reason, when we look at you now, the Bible says Christ is the end of the law. Why have you not stopped doing these things? You don't know Christ. Because he will end all of these practices. Remember what Paul said to us in 2 Corinthians 3. He said, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is what? Lifted up. Can you remember? Alright, verse what? Is it verse 14? Let's see it very fast. Of 2 Corinthians. He said, when one turns to Christ, the veil is lifted up. Verse 14, 2 Corinthians 3. Okay. Alright, we're right. So let's see it in the Amplified rendition. But in fact, their minds were hardened, for they had lost their ability to understand. For until this very day, at the reading of what? The old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because it is only removed where? In Christ. So why are they still practicing all of that? And you remember, those ideas from the old covenant, all of those Judaistic practices, what are they standing as according to Paul? A veil. Alright? Some sort of, they walk like a veil. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So as long as you have those beliefs, there's a veil over your face. Something is hindering you from seeing the glory. Remember, Paul is using a picture. That same picture that happened, you know, between the children of Israel and Moses. Remember when he was coming down from the mountain and they could not look at his face because of the glory? Of course, a glory that was still passing away. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And Moses had to cover his face. Can you remember? Because they said to him, the glory is too much. So he had to cover his face. Can you people get what I'm trying to explain? You know what the Bible is saying right now? That whatever they couldn't see that time was a glory that was fading away. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. It says, verse 9, very fast. For if the ministry that brings condemnation, the old covenant, the law, has glory, how much more does glory overflow in the ministry that brings what? Righteousness. The new covenant which declares believers free from guilt sets them apart for God's special purpose. Now, whatever glory that was on Moses was a function of the old covenant, the law. Alright? And that glory that was fading away, the children of Israel, human beings could not see it in the Old Testament. So, Paul now did some little substitution. He is saying that there's a shift now for us in the New Testament. He said for them in the Old Testament, they could not even see that glory that Moses had on him, which was a function of the understanding of the law. Then he says, there's a higher intensity for glory, of glory for us in the New Testament. That's what Paul is trying to say. And now, if you believe the same thing, if you stop at the understanding of Moses, remember there was glory of Moses. He said, but that glory will become like a veil because of the intensity of the higher glory in the New Testament. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to say. And then that light that the children of Israel could not see in the Old Testament, compared to the light in the New Testament today, that light is even darkness. Did you get what I just said? Did you get what I just said? Are you sure you got me? It is something they celebrated, but for us, it's not something we celebrate. Compared to what God is about to do in the New Testament, that's even darkness. And that's why the Bible said, if the ministry of condemnation was what? Glorious. He said the ministry of the righteous excels in glory. You know, sometimes when I hear preachers, I say, let's be very, very sincere. Except you don't know it. Don't just say in terms of the greater ministry is just that we are born again. True, we are born again. That never happened in the Old Testament. The Bible said we have been given the heart of flesh and not that of stone, you know. So it's different. What the kind of heart we have now, they never had those days. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? But even more, a righteous man is one that stands before God without inferiority complex. No guilt, no shame, no feeling of anything standing before God. The Bible says we call God a special, you know, nickname, like a small child will call his father Abba. An intimate way of calling God your father, Abba. Meaning we are very confident before God. And that, of course, the byproduct of that will be the crazy realms of the miraculous. Because if they could do whatever they did in the Old Testament with the consciousness of the law, how much can we do in the New Testament with the consciousness of righteousness? They knew they were not perfect and they did those stuff they did. But we understand that we are perfect in Christ Jesus. See, I can't even feel the conviction. It's very hard to enter into these things. You know why it's very hard? Because Satan is fighting. He doesn't want you to enter. Say, I'm righteous. I'm very righteous. Because of what Jesus has done for me. In the name of Jesus. Say, I'm righteous. I'm the righteousness of God. Every day say it. Say it every time. Not just a mental assent like Isaiah is saying. You know these things, but you have not encountered it. You always say it, but it has not become your reality. He said, in righteousness, thou art what? Thou art free from what? Powerful. So whatever Moses had in the Old Testament was a function. Whatever glory he saw was a function of the law. And the Bible said, for us in the New Testament, our glory is even higher. So that glory that Moses had in the Old Testament compared to the light and the intensity of glory in the New Testament, that glory is even darkness. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Glory to God forevermore. So Paul saw a people who were religious. He said, you are worshipping a God you call to the unknown God. But they were in church. They were white and white probably. But they called God an unknown God. And in fact, some of them, they say the things they see in scriptures, but they are never a reality of it. That's religion. While I was growing up, wherever I was worshiping, I told you a story one time that when I started understanding these things, I went to the church one time and I saw the youth doing a party. They threw a party. They were having a party in the church hall. And I was very surprised. It was as if I was dreaming. And it was not just a regular party where they were just maybe, you know what I mean by a regular formal party. It was this kind of parties that we used to have in secondary school at the end of the session, I mean term, I mean whatever we call it. When you are getting to the next class, you remember those parties? I don't think you attended, right? Do you people know those parties? It's like most of you did not attend the parties. You were born again that time. You attended? Okay, okay. Did you rock? Said small. All right, he said small. And then did you dance? All right. You went for the party? Okay, two of you. I say you went. He said two of us, we went. He's putting another person in the problem. Now, we all went for those parties, right? Except for me, who is a man of God. Well, a lot of us went. 90% of all of us. What is 90%? 99%. I'm trying to look for the person that did not attend that kind of party. Otis, you did not attend. You never attended. They did not used to do it in your school. Your dad was not aligned. Now that's nice. It's good. And so, I was familiar with the party because I was in a school, Indian Staff Secondary School. And from the primary school, we know that party, talk less of secondary school. You know, they will arrange the parties and people, you know, be dancing. So I went to church one day and I saw that kind of party, blue light in church hall. Blue light. I mean, they were so bored that they wanted to just explore some realms. And as I entered, I just saw people with green bottle. Hey, it was youth day. It was like I was dreaming. This is how I was looking at everybody. And I said, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Then when I went to the front, I said, stop. Am I dreaming? Stop. Then they were looking at me and laughing. Meaning, who is this small boy? He has not understood life. Once in a while, you flex. That's life. I was so amazed that I went outside and I started crying. Innocent me. I felt like church should not have those kind of things. But now as I'm teaching, of course, I understood and I'm understanding better right now. They did not know God. They could say the creeds, they could do all of the practices, but they didn't have an encounter with the Word. Like I was saying, I believe in Jesus who died for me, who resurrected for me, blah, 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 blah. And when you are done, madam, give me a star. We're not trying to condemn. They've not had an encounter. Because if you truly know what Jesus has done for you, you will not take star after this declaration. The belief does not start with your mouth. It starts with your heart before your mouth. Jesus prophesied about the people in the book of Isaiah. He said, they worship me with their what? But their hearts are what? Far away from me. You know why that is happening? Because they were just religious. They were worshiping God with their what? Mouth, but their heart. They love the Lord. Though. See, if you talk to those people, who do you worship? God. Who are you standing for? God. But the decorums, the paths through which they are serving this God is wrong. We can see that in Romans 10, isn't it? Let's see. The first statement of Paul in Romans 10 was so disturbing. If you know Israel and really hype them so high, you'll be wondering, what kind of statement is this? Let's read together. Can we read it in the Amplified? Let's read it in this rendition, then we'll get to the Amplified. Let's read together. One, two, go. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Can you imagine that? These are people who have drank the well of Jacob and etc. and have been killing lambs and the rest. Paul said they need to experience salvation. He said they are not saved. That's what Paul was praying and saying. Now, Paul used to be into their practices. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Before God encountered him on his way to Damascus. But look at it. Highlight this. Paul was into their practices, yet he said to himself, he said, I used to kill Christians with a clear conscience. He said, I killed Christians with a... In other words, he was doing it thinking he was doing it for the Lord. He was taught that killing these people was the right thing to be done. In fact, at certain places, remember Stephen, he held the clothes of the people when they wanted to kill Stephen. That's what is happening with this... what do they call them? Boko Harams and the bandits and the rest. You know, today we saw a video, very disturbing video. They came out and said, everybody should leave Maiduguri. Was it a part of Maiduguri? A major part of Maiduguri. They should leave there because they are coming and anybody that will not convert, they will kill the person. You can imagine. They want to change everybody. That's what they were brought. You think these people are really bad people from birth? They were not bad from birth. It's the training. Train up a child in the way he should word. And when he's word, he will never, except through an encounter, special encounter by the mercies of God. And most of them will not give you listening ear. Because if you listen to the word will change you. But they will not even want to give you a listening ear. That's why we need to be praying for people. Faith comes by hearing. If you have mind, hear the word of God. If anybody hears the word of God, they can never say no to God. A lot of times people think they are saying no, not because of it, it's because of pride. They never were hearing you. They were listening to reply, not listening to understand you. That's why when you are done, they'll now ask some funny question and say, I better get out. But if they really come down to really want to understand, we're not saying agree, just understand. If you understand, you can't deny Jesus. I told you I was speaking to a young man. We met casually at the mechanic. I was thinking it was his mom's car, only to find out later it was his car. And he was just picking in, looking for a way to talk with me. When I observed it, I gave him my attention. He took my pen that fell. He said, sir, your pen fell. I said, well, thank you. And we started talking. He said, sir, please, what do you do? What's your name? And I just figured out he wanted to talk. And as a pastor, the next thing after greeting, I said, what church do you attend? He said, ah, sir, I don't go to church. I said, hey, what a mistake. Then I faced him now. I turned my chair. You don't go to church? How old are you? He said, 21 or 20, thereabout. I said, you have given up on God. He said, I don't see the need going to church. I said, hey. I couldn't shout there because I was outside. I would have shouted, hey, whoa. I was at back. And I said to him, we need to talk. He said, yes, I just feel we should talk. I said, okay. I did not tell him I was a pastor. So we started conversing. And I said, just tell him how 80s become 80s. I said, for instance, there are certain laws on the earth. I started with that. I said, for instance, if you don't plant corn, will you reap guinea corn? Don't plant maize, will you reap guinea corn? Is it possible? Is it not what you sow that you reap? I said, many people think God is wicked. Meanwhile, he's not wicked. He said, the earth have I given to the sons of men. He did this earth for the sons of men. Sons of men simply mean human beings, not Christians. But in God's will, what he wrote is that Christians should rule this earth. God's will for the earth is that Christians should what? Rule it. So that's his will for the earth. What if Christians are refusing to rule the earth? Like I was sitting somewhere, explain the importance of Christians getting into politics. I said Christians need to be trained to get into politics. And that's why you must not melt down the training. You must not water down the curriculums for the training. It's just like you want to become a soldier and they are pitying you. It's not done anywhere. You rather die than be pitied. That's why one of the things you sign when you are getting to ND or any military system for training is that your father has to sign that should in case you die, they will not hold the military. You see it on the form. What if in case your son dies, we will not kill him intentionally, but if he ends up dying due to the training, you will not hold us. You will sign there. If you don't sign, they will not allow your child to come to the military. Because they know that the way we are not ready to compromise. Whether your belly is to pain you when you do frog job, nobody will say stop. That intestine has to burst rather than for you to stop. That's why they say do frog job, you are falling down, they will not hit carry stick and hit on your neck. Pain, so your eye is turning you and you stop. They now hit you on your... Are you a bastard? You now stand up. The earth will be rotating 360. You'll be running. And you... You know, I told you, Pastor Benson called me during the first quarter of the training. Say, sir, I want you to pray for me. I say, for what? Sir, they are beating me and the training is too much. I don't know if I can survive it. I said, they don't used to pray for this kind of thing. They only used to pray for grace to receive those things. I said, because no matter how I pray for you, they must beat you. And I asked him, I thought you knew. Did they not tell you that they almost want to kill you in that place? That's how it is in Christianity. Don't water down the doctrine because you want to please the people, else you don't raise true Christians. Christians that can function even in politics. We cannot be doing this little, you know, watered down gospel and be expecting strong Christians in politics. If you enter politics, you will see things that will overpower you if you are not fortified properly. I was hearing a story from a pastor. He said they told somebody that his time has not reached to enter politics. He will not win governorship. Another person then called him and said, there's somewhere I will take you to. They will make it your time. And when he went there, they said, before you become a governor, you have to look for a young baby, grind the baby. You'll be the one to grind the baby alive. I mean, the baby will be crying, you'll be grinding the baby. Why do you think that fuel is 1,700 and they still want you to pay tax? The Lord give you understanding. Rico Palatia. Now, are you here? Are you understanding me? You are trained to be wicked. That's why you cannot rule the people rightly. The Bible says righteousness what? Exalts a nation. But sin brings fuel price high. Barash. Are you understanding me tonight? Righteousness exalts a nation. So they train you to be wicked. Such a man now, if he becomes governor or president, you think he will care if they kill people in Yelwata? Sorry, if they kill people in a place? You think so? You think he will be able to? Conscience is gone. You think if the worst is happening, they can? You know, I was telling my wife, somebody have mind to deny killing. You are not scared that people died and they are watching you wherever they are. They are looking at you. I said, we don't know who killed them. Well, it is not this, it is not that. And they are looking at you. What gave you that kind of mind? So when they told him that he had to do that, and when he did it, I don't know if he won, but I was hearing the story that he had to do that. And the preacher paused and said, such a person, if he becomes a governor or a president, he will have wicked policies. He wouldn't care about the people. Now, if you are a Christian and get into systems with these kind of people, get into policies with these kind of people, there are two things involved. It's either your power overcome their power or you are subjected by their power. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It is either your power must overcome their power or your word subjected by their power. In other words, if your power cannot overcome their power, you have to play with their set of rules. That's why you find out that they are saying Christian genocide and Christian politicians cannot defend you. Because how much of a Christian are they? How much of Christians are they? How much of Christians are they? Do they sit with the Holy Ghost and talk with the Holy Ghost? Christians in beer parlor. That's why they can't stand and say there's anything happening in the country. Rather, they are following them like pets behind. Like dog that they are carrying, you know, carrying them, following them. They can't talk because they are not Christians. They just have Christian names. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? Why do you saying Christian? If anybody is not a Muslim in this country, who is the person? A Christian. But how many of them are Christians indeed? With the kind of Christians, so-called Christians we have in politics, should anybody have the impetus to be bringing some useless policies? We have very plenty. The so-called Christians we think we have there, they are very plenty. Yet these guys are bringing policies and nobody is saying anything. Nobody is mentioning any word. There's a pastor, I don't know if some of you saw that video or picture all around the Muslim community, I posted the pastor everywhere, that the pastor blasphemed their prophet. And so the pastor must be dead. Somebody gave 1 million, that anybody that kills the pastor should come and collect 1 million. Another one now wrote, this money I saw $5,000 for anybody. Somebody has $5,000 to waste for anybody that will kill. He should snap the killing, prove it, and they will send him $5,000. In this kind of country. If government was working, the people posting this should be first arrested. In this same country, we have a man. I spoke about the demon on Sunday, Demon Gumi. I spoke about him. That will go and sit with bandits. And you will see he's the ambassador of bandits. He speaks for bandits. You will see there's a community they are disturbing now. Gumi will come as an ambassador of peace between bandits and the community. And why do you think we cannot trace Islam to that thing? When an Islamic cleric or a leader is the ambassador, the peace ambassador, and you say we should not put all of Islam there, how? Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? I'm opening your eyes to reality. It's not this thing I say, you know your place, the guy say, hey, man, hey, hey. No, no. This is true Christianity. Let's talk facts. They cannot represent this Jesus because they've not encountered him. They can go to church and say, I believe in God, the Father, or the Maker. They'll say it as a creed, but no encounter with those words. Mental assenters. You think it's at the mention of Jesus that every knee bows and every tongue confess? Oh my God, you don't understand. Or you think it's by the reading of the word? Was Satan not reading? Was he not reading? Was Satan not reading the scripture? Huh? He was reading. He said he will send his angels charge over you to guide you if you throw yourself. Satan was quoting scriptures. And Jesus, having a superior understanding, will say, thou shalt not test the Lord your God. But look at Satan quoting scripture. That's why the country cannot change with these kind of people up there. You and I who understand this God need to get into politics. People that have conscience need to get into politics. And you can't just get into politics with good conscience alone. Without fire. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because they'll come for you. There was a woman who died around 218, 214, 218. Dora Akun something. Can you remember her? Miss Dora, God bless her soul. She was first the director general of NAFDAC, right? And what? She held two positions, I think. But more of the director general of NAFDAC. Minister of what? Information before the NAFDAC whatsoever. Well, she used to be director. She used to hold a position, some sort of. And I think she was, who was the last president under the military regime? Was it Buhari? What? Abdul Salam, okay. Whosoever used to be the last president under the military regime recommended her for her integrity. They did a scan for her and they found that they assumed she had cancer in Nigeria, a certain kind of cancer, and they paid for her treatment. You know, she should go outside and have a major operation. And when she went there, they decided to do the scan. They found that no, it was not that serious, and they gave her certain drugs. But they already paid her for the cancer whatsoever. So instead of eating the whole money, she now carried the balance and returned back to the federal government. So the president at that time said, who is that woman that returned money? The thing shocked the man. He was a Muslim. He had to note her name down. Righteousness will really exalt you. I tell you the truth. He didn't mind that he was from another religion, another tribe. When Obasanjo entered, he now recommended, he said the story and recommended her for Obasanjo. Obasanjo had to write a letter to her husband because the husband saw the threat and he said his wife should not go into politics. He had to write a letter. They had to go and meet the woman and beg her to accept the position of the director general, NAFDAC. And she did. When she did, they tried killing that woman more than 3 times in that position. Why? Anything that was counterfeit must not enter Nigeria. And if it enters, if they get it, they'll burn everything. I've read a lot about her. They'll burn everything. Guess the people that fought her the most? Her tribal people. You know how Igbo people can do business. You understand what I'm trying to say? They fought her the most. But she will stand her ground and say, if it's counterfeit. A lot of times, you know, some babies will just be like that. You see the babies die. Some of them is these counterfeit things they are taking. She will prove it, she will test it. If it's not original, take it out of it. They will burn it and they were just killing people's business. righteously. Of course. Attempted murder, assassination, every time she... one time, she now contested election. In Abia State, I think. And she won the senatorial position. But because they didn't want the woman to repeat, to be in that position, because of her track record, money will not follow. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? They fought her so much. She went, in fact, when they were in court, they could not conclude the thing. They just left her there, and the other person was saying as, and she decided to allow it to slide until she had cancer or one other sickness, I can't really tell, and she finally died. Spiritual attacks upon spiritual attacks. God bless us wherever she is. But I'm telling you, it's not just good motive and good character you need up there. You need Holy Ghost power. Are you looking at what I'm trying to say? Real Holy Ghost power. People will be seated and blowing breeze. Some people, if you know where some of your politicians have entered, that's why when you are shouting Christian Jonas, they are wondering, I'm not a Christian. Why are they disturbing me? They know where they've gone to. We need real Christians to get into politics. Real Christians. And we cannot water down the syllabus, the curriculum for your making. Not just in politics. Some of you will function in different places. In fact, as we are speaking, the military is one of the most terrible systems in our nation to be in. I have a lot of friends there. We're talking with my friend. We grew up in the barracks together. Unfortunately, he could not do the training again. I think when they were doing training, they now some it was a mix-up, so he had to drop out. So he's a nurse currently. And while we're talking yesterday, he said to me, he said, I can't even remember our good memories in the barrack with our friends anymore. He broke my heart yesterday with his words. I said, why? He said, can you just imagine all of our friends? Try to remember all of our friends that we grew together with. He said, 90% of them got into the military. Remember the ones that are alive. Do you know when I started thinking, I can't remember many that are alive. He said, Pastor, I'm so emotional as I'm talking to you. We have lost most of them. 90% of our friends that we grew up together, they died in the military. Some of these boys were posting. They were small boys that just joined recently. I don't even know some of them. But because of some of our boys in the barracks that are friends with them, when the boys post, we don't see on their status. And we wonder, another military, like yesterday I posted one. The guy just died. His friend with somebody I used to know in the barracks. I saw that they posted, they had a birthday celebration not too long and posted, you know. And when I now saw it, I said, your friend, this person is that person's friend, right? He said, yes. And he's dead. He said, yes. That the fiance called him, the lady was dating, called him, and they were just talking. And the lady was like, why are you emotional? He didn't know how to break the news to her. He said, don't worry, I'll call you back. And he's telling me, I don't know how to tell this lady that this guy is dead. She had to figure out when she saw pictures, and she called, said, what was happening? He said, whatever you saw is the truth. He said, most of our guys. Then yesterday, I now reminded him there's one we used to know. He's huge, like Goliath. We call him Nu. I said, do you know Nu to have died? He said, Nu have died. I said, yes. I said, I think even his junior brother to have died. He said, Pastor Simon, which ones are remaining? I said, my brother. Sweet that the Lord joins like his reader. Now, you're laughing, but it was very emotional for us yesterday. We were just thinking. Because of a useless country. God, sorry, God bless Nigeria. Because of a useless government. Look at that young boy, just a lieutenant. He's not up to 5 years in the Nigerian military. He's dead. Just a lieutenant. What is a lieutenant? Not up to 5 years in the Nigerian military. He's dead. Advance, advance, advance. Let's go. And that's how he died. I can't tell you some of the rumors because it's not necessary. But look at it. So funny. Because of a bad system. So we don't need to water down the gospel. We must preach it the way it is so that you'll be what? Fortified. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Fortified. Our friends who are doing very well too in the military. I told you about my friend who killed a gang leader in Calabar by the power of the Holy Ghost. He told me, sir, I killed him by the power of the Holy Ghost. This one went beyond God. The mother cried to him on the morning. Very early in the morning, they plucked out the head of a one-year-old boy. They plucked out the head and kept the body for her to bury. He carried the head for sacrifice. She cried to him because he was in charge of that special assignment. And he said he looked at the woman. He just rushed inside his room. He couldn't believe what he had just said. I said he was on fast. Nobody should disturb him. I started praying. He called us. God must kill this person through me. The guy disappears. Just come there, shooting, he just disappears. And he said, God must kill. That he vowed that he must kill that guy before he leaves that special operation. And one day in the morning, the Lord told him, move out. While rain was falling, they covered themselves and they started moving into the bush. And when they got to the camp and surrendered the camp, the guys were fighting, they were quarreling themselves. And they opened fire against themselves. That's how the soldiers entered, killed them. He rushed the guy on his head and finished him. It was the guy he was looking for. True life story. And when he was done, he said they gave him many millions there. The people gathered money and came and gave him. What happened? Righteousness. At that very years in the military, you are not supposed to have that kind of money and do those kind of projects that he has done today. I tell you the truth. What he has done for himself today, with his rank, it is not possible for somebody at that rank to achieve those kind of things. I can't tell you some of the achievement. Wonderful, great achievement he has achieved for himself. As a very young man, not more than 31. I'm not sure he's more than 31. I think he's just 30, quietly. So imagine such a guy did not have fire. He doesn't have the anointing. Such very disciplined, that young man. One of the birthday wishes you saw the last time was, one of them was him. Very disciplined. We grew up together. Imagine he never had a walk with the Holy Ghost. Would that be possible? Immediately he comes back to Kaduna, the first place he's going to is a church. Immediately he drops. The first place, you would just be surprised. You are watching one church picture, you see him inside. When did you come back from Meduguri and enter church? I say, I've been watching online. I wanted to be around. I couldn't wait. When he got to this town, the first person he called was me. We saw not like 2-3 weeks ago in town before he left. He came for an excursion or something. Because it was not watered down when we were growing up. I can tell you categorically, we will pray hours together with these friends. We will pray hours. You can't water down some things. You cannot escape some classes, jump some classes. We will sit with the word and pray hours. I was talking to my friends recently. My wife was hearing me. He said something at the end. He said, sir, I was telling somebody that we are not being proud of. But we that grew up together in Zozo Place, Zion Ministry, in NTA Kaduna, he said, I have checked. None of us have this candace to our name. Now, I'm not trying to be proud. He said, because we were not what? Caught short at any point. We had to follow the whole process. Those days when we were praying, it was as if we don't even know why we are praying. I tell you, we prayed till some of us are asking ourselves, why are we praying? Because you just gather, every time you gather, you just be praying, you know, hear anybody that say, Lord, give me money, you'll be like you are a sinner. We will turn and look at you. Lord, finances, you just see us turn and look at you. We feel like you are not worthy to be a Christian. We feel like anybody that is calling money was not a serious person. It's just no prayer point. As we hold our hand, it's when you tire, you continue. I told you about my friend. One of them by my side, he got weak. We're praying and praying for somebody's prayer to stop. The prayer point was, God, please reduce the fire in brother so and so. But he's the one causing. Because you know, while we are praying, there's somebody that he will not be making people's fire arise. Meanwhile, some of you are tired already. God, please, we must touch this person. And as you're saying, God, touch, it's as if you are stirring the fire. God will be increasing. This my friend was so tired, he didn't know what to do. The frustration that came out from his mouth, he now turned into tongues. You think something extraordinary happened. He was dying like, do go. I knew what was happening to this boy. Thank God. Then I say, all right, let's take water break. Oh my God. If you see how this boy rushed and climbed the bed. Wow. He wanted to start sleeping. But you can't sleep. I remember one of my friends, Sister Esther, she would say, Pastor Simon, where are you? At home. Let's go and die. We will die today for 3 hours. It's just emergency prayer. The Lord put it in my spirit. Call your brothers. I can't reach some of them. Oh God, this girl has come again. Oh. See, wait up. You know, yeah, somebody saying, tell her you don't reach me. Tell her you don't reach me. But their conscience will not even help them because they'll call it and say, have you started? I'm coming too. And we'll pray. We had real encounters. That's why sometimes when I'm talking to people, they'll be thinking we're lying. I remember when we had this meeting, it was just a leaders meeting. We sat down together and we're talking about the ministry. And now it was time for closing prayer. So my spiritual father said, let's begin to pray and thank God for all the discussions. As we began to thank God, he just raised a song. You are El Elyon. Everywhere changed, the atmosphere. God Most High, you are Jesus Christ. And since we're receptive, you know, one of the things that happens to you when you stay continually in the presence of God, when you pray in tongues, is that you become so sensitive to the activities in the realm of the Spirit. You can tell when angels have arrived. You can tell, as I'm saying again, some people are wondering, what are we saying? It's the truth. You are very sensitive. You know when something has dropped in the realm of the Spirit. You know when things have shifted in the realm of the Spirit. You know when a demon is checking out. You can tell. And my spiritual father said, the atmosphere is changed. Before he said it was changed, we have our hair, we're standing on our, we knew God was so mighty in that place. And as we continued singing, nobody checks time. We're getting to 12 midnight. The people that have the house, they had to go outside and were waiting for us. What happens is that we will come to your family house. Your family will excuse the parlor for us. I don't know how we had impetus. But the impetus was too serious. And it must be parlor. So that those people, they excused them. They were in other rooms. We prayed till midnight. And why did they extend to midnight? Strange activities of the supernatural. Say angels. My friends were shouting, say angels. One shout, say angels. He hit his hand. Jesus. As this one is saying, this one I've seen to, this one I've gone to the ground. Everywhere I've scattered. Somebody did his hand like this and oil were flowing from his hand. Supernatural activities. Sensitive to the presence of God. Then he says, such people, you think they'll be scared before evil? Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of your servant so that he may know that they that for us are plentier. Look at what he said. Lord, open the eyes. Meaning he had spiritual sight. There were things he was seeing that Gehazi was not seeing. They were walking 1 nose, 2 ears, you know, like normal human beings. How I knew that Gehazi didn't know who his master was his cry. He said, Master, they've come for us. What shall we do? If you knew what was following Elisha, you'd have not asked that question. What shall we do? You'd have said, what will I do? In fact, you would not say, what will I do? Because you know, by the reason of these angels, even me, I'm protected. In fact, I like how the Bible said it. It said, and God opened the eyes of Gehazi that he saw the angels of God around Elisha. You know, say around Gehazi. His eyes were opened. He now saw what was, you know, covering his mask. And as a result of it, he has to just be at the back. Very wise guy. Him too, confident, entered him. Why was Elisha not scared? Soldiers surrounded the city with AK-47. I can say AK-47. If they were, if it was today, they would have carried more than AK-47. They carried the best gun. You know why? They told the king that we don't have secrets. This the trap they set for the Israelite. Elisha told the Israelite did not follow that road again. King Nancy, the king now said, the opposing king now said, how is this thing happening? Why is it happening? For some of you who say you don't like forensic prophecy, there are some things that can only happen this way. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? See, don't be jealous of it. Covet it. Covet it. It's God's will. Elijah told them, don't follow that road. They've set you trap there. One man, one gift of God manifesting in his spirit was saving an entire nation. One thing working on his inside. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Which kind of human intelligence will make you not to follow that road that is set trap for you? I remember we were discussing with my friends. They told me how one of our guys died. That they were just driving and these bombs they set on the ground. That's how one of them died. Elisha was such a man that could tell that they set something there. Yeah. There was a man called Samuel. Donkey miss. They've searched everywhere in the city. They did not see. The man came to him. He said, hey, you came because you are looking for donkey. Donkey, go not east towards that river. Don't follow the right side. Don't follow the second. Your donkey is lying around one grass like that. You see him there. You just see him there. First ridges, second ridges, you see your donkey. They went there and they saw the donkey. Somebody say forensic prophecy. Accurate, precise. Don't jealous it, covet it. And listen, if you see people who are doing it wrongly, leave them. There's a right side to it. The reason why there's counterfeit is because there's original. Jesus walked in the prophetic. He looked at the woman and said, you have been married to 5 husbands. She said, hey. She was shocked. I know we who understand new creation reality, sometimes we want to say, this thing is that you understand Jesus. See, there's understanding Jesus. There's the more sure of prophecy. But there's what is called the gifts of prophecy. The manifestation of the spirit of prophecy. That one is not just to understand Jesus. It's safer to understand Jesus because when God gives you a prophetic word, like a word of knowledge, it takes the revelation of Jesus to understand what to do. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But it doesn't mean that God will not give you the word of knowledge. He does. The three realms that guide the prophetic or that makes up the prophetic is the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discernment of spirit. Are we together? And one cannot work without the other. You need three of them. And one of the things that happened there was that after Elijah said that, the special advisor of the opposing king, he now said, how are they knowing all of our traps? And the advisor told him, he said, there is a man in that city. He said, the man knows what even happens in your bedroom. Meaning if you argue with your wife, you know those talk that husband and wife were doing in that, you just behave. He said, the man will interpret it. He will tell you exactly what you are saying. So there is no secret in our land as a resultant effect of that man. As long as that man is alive, we don't have secret in this place. He said, okay, go for the man. God, get the man down. And when they came to meet that man, when they came, they found that the man was more dangerous than they can imagine. Dangerous man. Dangerous. What happened? The man knew what was backing him. Ah, Ligo Bahai. Rikukuku Paratia. He knew. The guy was not. That's why I tell some Christians, they are not conscious of what God has given them. The Bible says you are an innumerable. You can't number the angels. And you don't have money, you start crying. Are you a coward? Why are you crying? Help has been there before the trouble came. See, it is not you that will end. It is a trouble that will end. The Bible calls it light affliction. Working for us a more eternal weight of God's glory. Why are you drifting away? Why are you scared? Why are you scared? God is so faithful that he has not bring to you a temptation that is beyond your ability to overcome. Prove who you are to before God. When you see challenges, remember what I taught you last 2 weeks. That God did not allow the children of Israel to go through the shorter route to the blessing, because he knew they couldn't face war. Meaning the shorter route to the blessing was full of what? War. He said because their mindset was wrong, so when they faced challenges, they would now run back to Egypt. But But because God doesn't want them to run back to Egypt, he said, don't face the challenge first. In other words, when God allows you to face challenge, count it all joy, count it. Because you are about to get into the glory. He thinks you are worthy. He thinks you have the right mindset. That's why he allowed it. He says he's faithful in that he will not allow a trial that is beyond your ability to overcome. Meaning he allowed it. He's not the one that pioneered it, but he allowed it. When Satan said, I want to come and deal with this guy like Job, he said, okay, go ahead. Remember, he boasted with Job. He said, Job, my servant, blah, blah, blah. Meaning God knew Job will overcome it. In other words, the reason God allowed it is because God knows that you overcome it. He said, you are more than an overcomer. More than, that's your description, more than a conqueror. Meaning when you are done winning this phase of trial in your life, don't celebrate. You are bigger than the person that won. Elisha was conscious of what he had. In the Old Testament, a glory that was fading away. He was called, I can bet you the angels that Elisha had are nothing compared to the ones you have. And do you know what the Bible said? That the angels were so much, they outnumbered the number of soldiers. You know how soldiers could be many? Go and check your Bible. Many thousands of soldiers for one man. Meanwhile, when the eyes of Gehazi were opened, he saw that the angels around Elisha alone outnumbered. There were so many, he could not see the soldiers again. So many big angels. That they stood, and nobody was seeing the soldiers again. A songwriter said that it may seem like we are surrounded, but we are surrounded by God Himself. Count it all joy. This thing came, count it all joy. Count it all joy. You are a son of the living God. You know what that means? And you are crying and you want to beg. Why? A son of God? You think we're joking when we told you that? You think we're joking? Verse 15 of Romans 8 says, we cry, Abba, Father. My daddy. No wonder a songwriter said, my daddy, your baby is singing. Is it a joke to you? That the Bible says, he rejoices over us with singing. Meaning when, I do it to my child. My wife always sees me. People in my house sees me. The moment I come out, I only want to see my child. You see me shouting her name and playing with her. That's how God rejoices. You know, for the fact that I'm a father and I'm feeling the thing. It just is natural. You just want to play with your child. You see, the way God has been speaking to me since I got married, my revelations have doubled. When I got married, before a child, I started understanding the church better. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved. When he finished, the only place they stop, they don't stop in marriage. He said, I'm not speaking of marriage. I'm speaking about Christ and the church. In other words, if you marry and you know you knew Christ, you understand church better. Meaning you do ministry better. For you to become a better minister of the gospel, you must marry. And this man got it. See how he hit his hand. He caught it. I passed his shop today. He didn't know. He was helping his fiance. That man is gone. Hallelujah to Jesus. I passed. He didn't notice me. They were walking together. Walking on their. Hallelujah to Jesus. I see the way I rejoice over my child. I can't help it. The moment I see her, every part of me wants to shout. That's how it is between us and God. And God says his own is even better than our own. He said, your early fathers. I didn't know my father was bad until God told me. He said, our early fathers. Yes, Jesus said so. He said, they will not give you stone if you ask of bread. He said, if they are in. He said, if they can be this evil and be this good. I'm trying to say it in my own understanding, in my own way now. Jesus said they are evil and we thought they were good. Jesus said, even though you are saying good, they are evil. Oh. He said, if they can do this, what of me? So no matter how good your father is, you mean more to God than how you meant your father. I know you can't believe it because some of your father loves you so much. Yeah. That's how. God loves you 10 times better than that. That's how we say from your father. And that's why when he said, don't marry him, your father should not say marry him. Because God loves you 10 times. Talk less of your mother. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Are you here tonight? So much in love with us. So much. We are sons of the living God. That's the achievement of the cross. For as many as have believed in Jesus, to them he has given the right, the legal right, to be called what? Sons. You know, I explained to you the adoption of sons. Was it Galatians 4 and 5? Remember last 2 Sundays? The adoption. That in the Roman world, a child you give birth to and the one you adopt is more legal and legitimate than the one you give birth to. Very funny. So, it's not like that's how it's supposed to be in every culture. When Paul wanted to teach them sonship, he had to borrow adoption. Because he understands how important adoption is to them. So he has to speak to them in a language they will understand. Such an intelligent man. So he said to them, for as many, because if he said, you are just a child, if you believe in God, you are a son that God gave birth to, they will not understand. Why do you think he chose adoption in his letters to the Romans? He said, for as many, he said, for we that have been redeemed, is it Galatians 5 and 4? To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive what? The adoptions as sons. In the book of Galatians, He understood that a child that is adopted in their culture is more legitimate than a child that was given birth to. According to their practice, their beliefs, they believe that if, for instance, I give birth to a child, or my wife give birth to a child, because some of you are looking at me and say, how do you give birth to a child? And the child is misbehaving. I necessarily never wanted that child. God just gave me the child. That's their belief. But the one that me, I will carry my hand and look at the child and say, I want to sign up this child to become my child. They say you can never one day say you don't want that child again. But the one you gave birth to, you can actually carry it and say you don't want. It was God that forced the child on you. That's why Paul chose to use that. The adoption. In other words, we are sons of God, and God will never one day say he's not doing sonship with us again. I don't know that you guys are getting on trying to explain. We are sons forever. That's why when the prodigal son misbehaved, when he came back, what happened? The father hugged him. Before he said the word, he said, I'll practice all my confession. Let me remember all the sin I've made. Before he said any confession of sin, the father hugged him. Because what gets you transformed is not your confession of sin. It's the acceptance of the love of God on your life. The love of God changes you, not your confession of sin. He said no confession. He was given white robe. When the father hugged him, what did the father say? The next thing the father told him, said to them, say, put on him the best robe. Without no word. Because it is love that transforms us. The Bible says in 1 John 4:17, we can only love him because he has first loved us. Meaning anything you want to say is not legitimate. Why you will live for me is because you first receive my love for you. Understand my love for you. Keep quiet, young man. And he received God's love for himself. That's why when Peter was seeming to boast about his love for God, God told him, you deny me how many times? Because what it would take for people to love me has not been initiated on the earth yet. If Jesus was not dead, buried, and resurrected, people cannot experience and know his love. And here is Jesus who was not dead, buried, and resurrected yet. And a man is claiming that he loves the Lord and he can die for the Lord. And Jesus was so sure. He said, before the cock will what? You deny me how many times? 3 times. Because you have not experienced the mercy of the Lord. It's not of him that willeth nor runneth, but of the Lord that has shown mercy. Peter, you cannot. Of your own strength, you can't. By your strength, you can do nothing, Peter. And finally, he denied Jesus how many times? That's why Paul prayed for Israel to be saved. They had all the decorums and they can wear white and white, but Paul said, if you don't accept what Jesus has done for you, Israel, if you are holding on to old practices and beliefs, you will still be subjected wearing white and white and sleeping around, wearing white and white, and the best of you will become hypocrites. The best of them were hypocrites. That's why Jesus always used to call them hypocrites. Generation of vipers. That's what Jesus called them. Jesus hated religion. So they had proximity to the scriptures, but they had never encountered Jesus. never encountered Jesus. In fact, they were singing, "Crucify, his blood be upon us and our children." Now back to what I was trying to explain. I'm preaching in two sides. Elisha was so conscious of what he had, his provision in the realm of the spirit. God will not just say, "Go and represent me." He gives you everything you need. The Bible says we have received from him all that we need for what? Life and what? Godliness. All you need for life. If you want to get into politics now, all you need for politics, God has given you. He has given you. Imagine how dirty the world of politics is. God said, "I have given you." The problem is that, have you realized all that God has given you? Can you see it? Elisha saw it. He lived with that consciousness and mentality, such that the moment they say soldiers have gathered, they want to kill you, the guy was not shaking. He kept on warming himself. What was sustaining his faith? Why was he so confident? Why was he not scared? Not even a moment. Why? He was so conscious. There was something he was seeing. He was so conscious of the unseen. The Bible said the things which are not seen are more real. Elijah lived with the mentality and the consciousness of the unseen. The provision he had in the realm of the spirit. Little wonder. He didn't respond. I said, where many are they? He said, God, open his eyes. Open the eyes of this boy so that he will understand that they that are for us are plenty. In other words, you know, the Bible said after Gehazi was done seeing the angels, he couldn't even see the soldiers again. That simply means Elisha was not even seeing the soldiers. All he saw around him were angels. No wonder I couldn't be scared. There was no way. There was no reason for Elisha to be scared. What are you saying? That's the reason why you have fear or faith. I see all of God's provision for me. I can never be scared. I refuse to be scared. The Bible says, looking up to Jesus, the author. Not the problems. Not the problem. Stop looking at the problem. Stop looking at the problem. See God's provision. See it enough. See it enough. See, keep looking at what Jesus has done. Look at the cross, and very soon your sisters will start behaving well. Keep looking at the cross. Keep on seeing it. You know, when you keep on looking at the cross, you'll be saying what God wants you to say. But when you are looking at the situation, you'll be crying. And as long as you are crying, you are not changing anything. You are wasting your time. Jesus asked a question in Matthew 6. He said, whoever adds to his life or brings about a solution by being 1 second worried, trying to say it in another way, you don't bring a change by being worried. Do what is necessary. If you are thirsty and there's a tap there and you start crying, will you die of thirst? Yes. What if you own the tap? You drink water. That's why we have a lot of Christians who are suffering. Instead of praying rightly, they are crying so much. You don't change anything by crying. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? Look at Jesus in the boats with the disciples. What happened? Jesus was there sleeping. Not because he didn't know. He's God. He knew what was happening, but he refused to wake up. Why? He had designed that this thing should be sorted up, sorted out. Situation like this should be sorted out by human beings. They should know how to figure it out. And the first thing he did was that when he saved them, he addressed the problem they had. He said, "O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith." In other words, speak out. Then he said something somewhere. If your faith were as little as a mustard seed, you can still say to a mountain. You can speak to a mountain. Meaning, if you think your faith is small, it is because you have not spoken yet. If your faith is small and you have the impetus to say, are you again trying to say? It's in the speaking you affirm your faith. With our heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with our tongue, confession is made unto salvation. You will not touch the freedom God has given you without speaking. If it isn't just in your heart, you will not say anything. Have the impetus to say. Sometimes you have a lot of unbeliefs in your heart. Keep on speaking God's word. Keep on saying it. You are wondering how it will happen. Keep on saying it. You are creating something. It may not appear all of a sudden, but you are creating something. Some of you are actually in 91% to the finishing. But it will look so frustrating because it's been 3 years now. Do you people get on trying to explain? But you are 91% to the finishing. If I were you, I would worry less and speak more. Because the more I speak, the more I get closer. It is sure. This principle is sure. We are not second guessing. It's as you speak, you see. You don't see to speak. He told us in the beginning, let there be light. There was light. Gave us the same ability. Same ability. You got to be conscious of what God has given you. So conscious. You know why we had those encounters while we were growing up? We're so conscious of angels. We're conscious that angels were around us. We're conscious of God's ability. I told you that miracles, I didn't start seeing miracles now. I started seeing it as a child in the faith. My spiritual father will come and say, somebody has SS, let us change it. He will not even talk, say it in a humble way. You say, there's somebody that called me that she has SS. We have like 30 minutes in this meeting or 1 hour. He said, we'll use 30 minutes to pray and change it. He's not saying as if we should beg God to change it. He said, we have 30 minutes to pray and change it to AA. So in our heart, we are not saying, God, please come and change it. The way he said it is the way we are praying. If you read the story in the book of Kings about Elisha, the Bible says, and Elisha prayed and commanded their eyes to be blind. What a way of prayer. He doesn't say, Father, come down, make their eyes blind. The Bible says, and Elisha prayed. What was the prayer? Let your eyes be blind now. Listen, the Bible says when the eyes of Gehazi were opened, he saw angels plenty, they were standing. But it was at the command of Elisha they went into motion. Are you beginning to understand? The Bible says you are in an innumerable multitude of angels. But most people keep their mouth shut. This is how they command angels. God, 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 come down. Come down, Father. Come. Angels are around. Their sword is like this. Are you beginning to understand? Say, just speak a word and see. There's a book we used to read years ago. It's called Angels on Assignment. The writer made us to understand that angels are already for motion. They are just waiting for our command. They are waiting for our command. Elisha said a word, and all of a sudden they were blind. Playing with an entire generation. And the Bible said they were following him. He said, follow me. They were following. Anywhere the horse of Elijah was going, they were following. But it got to a point. Elisha said, Father, let their eyes be open. Ali bro suparash. Same God. Same God. Are you beginning to understand? Same God. Old Testament. We thought it was a fairy tale till Paul did it in the New Testament. Paul made the eyes of somebody blind. Kalabrahadesh. Have you read that part of scripture before? Ah, the guy was so stubborn. He was always against the body of Christ. He was always talking against the things of Paul. Trying to lure people and frustrate Paul's ministry. Paul woke up one morning and said, hey, dude, your eyes should be blind. His name was not Judah. I forgot his name. But when Paul spoke to him, his eyes became blind. What of Peter that killed somebody? That one is different. These guys understand authority. See, go and sell everything you have and bring the money to church. Then your wife say, ah, we have children, we have to save some. Then you come to, all right, where's all the money? You know, I want you to follow, you want us to follow the principles in the book of Acts. This is one of them. Where's all the money? Sir, this is it, 200 million. All right, and you just get 5 million for Pampers and baby care. There's some money. No, sir. This is the only one we have. Sir, this is the only one we have, sir. Okay. For saying this lie, you are dying now. Like a joke, the whole church saw that ogre died. He just fell and died. He now said, woman, last question. How much do you have remaining? Sir, true to God, I'm not lying. There's nothing remaining. As your husband fell and died, so are you falling to die now? And she fell and died. The Bible says, and great fear filled everybody as they carried the corpse of these two people. They did not bring them back to, they went to bury them. If you are in that meeting and you see this happen, and I say, how about you? Is there anything remaining? How much In fact, you borrow from your friend. I said, join me this. There was no lie again. But you see, the interesting part of this story is that it was not God's will that those people died. I thought this thing so much. Somebody said, eh? I said, yeah, it was not God's will. It was not God's will. He said to Peter, he said, whatever you bind on earth is bind. Whatever you lose, angels will listen to you. Angels will listen to whatever you say, because you are seated together with me. You are seated together with me. I told you that, I did that teaching before. Heaven is my throne where I sit. The earth is my footstool. Where is God? Huh? The word throne there simply means where he sits. Then he said, the earth is my footstool. Carry a chair for me. Raise it up. Let them see something. What is this now? Where God sits? Where is the footstool of this seat? The earth. Where is the throne of God? God designed from the beginning that his throne should be on the earth. His authority and kingdom should be upon the earth. Because his throne is sitting where? On the earth. That's why, listen, from the beginning he gave Adam a kingdom. In Matthew, the Bible says at the end, the Father will say, come and receive the kingdom prepared from you. God's authority was always supposed to be executed through man. Who is man that thou be mindful of? Thou crowning with glory and all virtues and have set in above all the works. Oh my God, I feel the anointing. All the works of your hands. All, including angels. It is ignorance of scripture. Special love to those brothers and sisters. For you to think that angels are bigger than us, you are disrespecting God. To which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my? But to the Son he said, your throne is forever established. And as for many that have believed in his name, to them he has given the right to be called sons of God. You see that? But you see, if you are so much conscious of the fact that you are Idoma and Tiv, Ibibio, Igala and Igbo, Yoruba, rather than a kingdom man and a woman, you will never walk in the reality of this authority. That's why we look down ourselves. We know our weaknesses. We know we are from high level, we are from Vandikia. So it's very hard to say, you like this, Esther. You are greater than an angel. But everything has manual. Everything has manual. Everything on the earth has manual. Everything, even this microphone has manual. You know why? The maker of this microphone knows that at some point, it will be difficult for you to understand what to do probably. There's a possibility that you may not know how to do this and do that. And that is why God gave us the Bible, his word. Because he knows that at some point we'll be wondering who is greater. Are you able to get out and try to explain to you? At some point we'll be faced with tough situations in life. At some point we'll be faced with certain kind of situation, but when we check the Bible and see what the Creator have said, we care less of what anybody is thinking. It doesn't matter what you think about yourself. You are exactly what God and who God says that you are. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? Forget about emotions. It doesn't matter how you feel about yourself. What God has said is who you are. Period. He created you. You didn't create him. So I don't feel we are better than angels. It's not about your feeling, brother. It's about a knowing. Jacob said the Lord, was it Jacob? Sorry. Was it Jacob? Jacob said the Lord was in this place and I knew not. He didn't say and I felt not. Faith is a function of a knowing, not a feeling. I just told you I felt the anointing of the Holy Ghost. If I didn't feel it, the anointing is still here. Knowledge is bigger than feeling. Are you here tonight? We are far bigger than angels. And that's why, thank God for the Amplified rendition. They did a very good job. It said to us in Hebrews 2 and 7, it said for a certain period of time. And if you look at the context, it is self-explanatory. You can just understand it by yourself. If you look at the context carefully, the Bible says began to compare angels and humans from the very beginning, one generation to another generation. If the generation of before and the generation of now, generation of before, you know, the age of the Abrahams, the Old Testament, and the age of now. Firstly, he said, if the word spoken by angels in verse 2 of same part of scripture was had, let's see it together. For if the message given through angels, the law given to Moses was authentic and what? And every violation and what? Act receive and what? You are seeing it. He's trying to compare two generations here. And so it makes a lot of sense to read verse 7 the way the verse 7 word is. I mean, let's look at verse 7. Everybody, I want us to read. It said, you have made him for a little while. What? Meaning there was a generation of the law, and the law was given by what? To Moses, isn't it? That is why we were lower at that point. Because Jesus has not come, was dead, buried, and what? Resurrected. But now that Jesus is dead, buried, and resurrected, now we have access to the Father. We have come boldly to the throne of grace. Something has changed. That's why you have made him for a little, talking about a period of time. There was a time that angels had authority, but now we are greater. Something has happened. You have crowned man with what? Glory. And what? And you have what? Set him over the works. Is it some works? Definite. The works of your hands, including angels. Are you seeing this now? Read the next part of scripture. You have put all things in subjection under his feet, confirming his supremacy. Now in putting all things in subjection to man, he left nothing outside of his control. But at present, we do not yet see all things subjected to him. Meaning, this is God's will concerning you and I. But at the present, you may not be seeing the whole reality yet. Are you people confused? You may not see everything yet. But, verse 9, I want us to read together. But we do see Jesus. Now we're comparing who was made lower than the angels, for they are comparing him with us again. Are you getting the picture here? Now you are seeing little while here. And they said the little while was a function of the word limitation of his humanity. Why? Hebrews 10 and 5, a body that thou prepares for me, he took upon himself our humanity. So there was limitation. But the Bible said in the book of Romans 6:6, how that he put back that nature to the old tree. You see that? Now don't leave here. It's comparing the same algorithm for a little while, then we have authority. He said we may not see everything yet in manifestation, but we see Jesus. He went through same algorithm. Who was made lower than angels for what? A little while, by taking on the limitation of humanity, crowned with what? Glory and honor after us because of his what? Sufferings of what? Death, so that by the grace of God extended to sinners, he might what? Experience death for what? The sins of everyone. Does it make any sense to you? By the reason of his death, remember when he was talking to the people after they came to the tomb and were doubting his resurrection, he said, oh ye slow of heart and foolish to know, to have not believed what the prophet had said, or not the Savior ought to suffer, and after suffering enter into his glory. So you are seeing it here. It was after suffering, the death burial, that he received the glory, that God gave him a name that supersedes every other name. And he said something, as the Father have sent me and given me glory, so have I sent you and given you what? Glory. That at the name of Jesus, every knee word and every word, and we live in that name. In him we live. In the name we breathe. In the name we have our being. Oh, glory, glory, glory. And we know the implication of living in that name. In that name we are come to Mount Zion, the city of in an word, innumerable multitude of angels. And you got to be conscious. Don't just know it, be conscious of it. So that like Elisha, you will tell people, Father, open the eyes of your servant so that they may know. Gehazi was a kind of Christian. Elisha was another kind of Christian. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? Gehazi was not aware. Elisha was aware. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And when he knew, there was an advantage for him. So much advantage. He didn't die. He was supposed to die that day. Now let me say something that may not really sit well with some people. Over thousands of soldiers, they surrendered the whole city for one man. You can liken these soldiers to these useless bandits today. Less fortified, I believe. Less illiterate. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, it sounds like I'm foolish, but I'll just let it out. Surrounded an entire city looking for you. Don't you think the God that did it for Elisha can do it for you? If we believe that this later, you know, Prophet Kubus did something, my role model, one day. He asked somebody, do you believe in this part of the Bible? The person said, no. He said, why not? Let's tear it and throw it away. The person said, no, don't tear it. He was tearing it already. He said, then why is it in the Bible? Why is this in the Bible if you don't want to believe it? Why do you leave it there? You believe God did it, you think they just frame some stories and they are telling us to get us excited? If he did it before, why can he not do it now? Listen, if you understand what I'm saying, you don't have any consciousness of fear on your inside. I mean, you know you will never be a subject. You are always going to be on top. Who is holding your dad's money? You can speak that person out of existence. I kid you not, I told you this story. Somebody threatened me that I will not graduate. And I wrote his name on my wall. If I will not graduate, you will not live to see my graduation. Listen, he was so wise. When he felt dealt, he came for apology. He came for negotiation. He called me and said, I want to be your friend. You have seen him several times in my meeting. I counseled him today. When I was telling my classmates, they said, God forbid, that man cannot change. Pastor Ed, I've seen him several times in my office. I am his pastor. He threatened, if I call his name, some of you have not called his name. If you graduated in my department, you will know. What happened? I went and met him and said, don't sleep with my member. And he said, I will deal with you. He was trying to sleep with a member. He said, I will deal with you. What is your matric number? I said, if you ask anybody, they will give you. He said, you will not. I said, you will not graduate. I said, Tom, let's see. And I left. Imagine me how many years ago, 5 years, 6 years ago. Imagine how small I look. He was so sure my own case is very, very small. He will deal with me. When I went back home, I wrote his complete name and I pasted it on my wall. When I was done taking my coke and eating food, I did not pray with fasting for that man. I just ate good food and I was looking at the name. And the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord was hovering upon the face of the deep. He was a deep truly at that time, full of darkness. I was hovering upon the face of that situation. And when I calculated, I imagined all the victories of God in Scripture. And when I rowed 3 times and called this man's name, I spoke in capital letter tongues. The next day, he called for negotiation. See, God is alive. God is very much alive. Are you listening to me? He is very much alive. Test and see that the Lord is good. See, miracles happen like magic. You know, sometimes they are too easy. That's why you don't believe it. When they say Moses was standing before the Red Sea and God said, move further, you'd be wondering, what kind of a God this is? Moses was like, God, we're in trouble. He said, keep on moving. Move where? He said, keep on moving. Which trouble? God is not seeing any trouble. He's already seen a way. He said, what are you holding? He said, stick. He said, that's your problem. Stretch it out. He stretched it out. The Bible said the Red Sea was parted as if it was dry ground. Meaning they didn't go like this. Civil engineers will be very confused now as I'm talking. The children of Israel did not go like this and go up. No. God filled he created a bridge in a few seconds. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to explain. You may really not understand what I'm talking because of how long it took you to see bridges in this your town. God took over a few seconds. And people were moving already. And when they got to their destination, Pharaoh was coming with his boys. And God was asking the question, did I make this bridge for you? Some people have mind of. You buy land, they want to collect. Did God give them the land or you? God promoted you, they are looking for your downfall. You may see them entering the promotion. You'll be wondering, God, you just promoted me. What is happening? Leave them. The bridge is not for them. Is it that promotion is their final destination? While they were walking, suddenly God said, close the bridge. People that I created it for, they have passed. The Egyptian you see today, and you see one thing God told that guy. God told him at the front of the biggest problem of his life yet. He said, the Egyptians you see today, you shall see no more. How, God? Can you hear the chariot? Those guys with their sounds of war. He said, you will not see them again, Moses. But God, how are you going to do it? At that point, if you calculated, no matter the any theory you know in mathematics will not give you an answer there. Where mathematics stop, that's where God starts. There is no way you can calculate it. God is looking at your enemies coming. They are very close to you. You say, just maintain your steeze. Because these people you are seeing, all of a sudden you will see them no more. Forget about when. All of a sudden they were no more. They were no more. In less than 5 minutes, everything God said came to pass. But the most important part, God said, move. When I read that part and God told somebody to move further, go closer. Tell somebody, go closer. You want to get it done, you are scared. Go closer. I mean, this night, go back to that vision. Go closer to it. Look at it more intently. Look at it. You can do it. Look at it. You can become it. Who said you cannot become it? I'm talking about you. Go and learn the fifth programming language. Learn something nobody has ever learned before. Say, why am I just learning? Like I told you, why am I just praying? We were just praying. I told you, see, let me tell you something. I know that it's not only of my prayer of today that is keeping me. There is no affinity for or fear in my spirit. The last thing I'm scared about in this life is Satan. Satan does not exist in my world. I've never sat down in my house and said, let's raise a prayer against altars. I don't know how to pray. I'm putting Satan in the prayer. I've never discussed a situation and calling Satan's name. I only do that when I'm addressing people that are in his league. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So I remove him from their lives. But when I face myself, Satan, one day I was telling my wife, some people tried to kill me 3 times. She said, how did you know? I said, I saw them 3 times. They tried to kill me. And the next morning when I saw the vision, I did not start a prayer point. Father, Rabakatoko, Father, they can't come nigh. The Bible said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of hell, gates, strength of all hell, cannot prevail against it. I just need to be conscious of where I am on. I'm on the rock. I've dug the ground and built my life on the rock. And that's my only and greatest security. They've not born that wizard yet. My goodness. Ripo katalata pasufelia epai kanatia. No! We're not conscious of Satan's ability. That's why we can trample upon snakes and scorpions coincidentally. Or by mistake. Or maybe they actually arrange it. And they shall by no means. You come to the office and they put charm for you. You sit. You didn't know that there was charm there. You sit there and everything is going just fine. And some people are confused. How can you, brother, you, sister, that you are working in an office and somebody put charm and when you sat on it, you were now mad? If you knew these things I'm telling you and are conscious of it, how the hell do you get mad? How the hell do you get... Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Somebody said, God will help me see it. What if God did not help you see it? He doesn't still change anything. Paul was warming himself. He didn't have a prophetic word that there was a snake there. A snake came out and beat Paul. Pop! Paul didn't say, God, why did you not show me? God, what did Paul say? What did Paul do? I mean, with the consciousness of what he had. Imagine Paul, brothers and sisters. This is the man that told us that if the same spirit that has raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, what would that spirit do? It will give you... That means that guy was conscious of another life in his mortal body. That is why he didn't shout. The Bible says he shook off the serpent, threw the serpent back on the fire, and kept on warming himself. He was not doing like... He kept on warming himself. If Paul did that at that time, he didn't do assignment. That's no way you do that kind of prayer. It's in your secret place. They that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You can't be charging your power bank when they partake light. It's not possible. It's when there is light. Have you ever seen somebody complaining that another person is charging power bank? Our light there, why they charge power bank? Why are you charging power bank? Charge your phone rather. Tell somebody there's such a thing as prayer bank. You are just praying. Why are you praying 10 hours? For praying 10 hours' sake. It's called prayer bank. Times will come. We'll just take power from that prayer bank. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You just take prayer. Take power from the prayer bank. You see, those prayers I've been praying years ago from 16. I'm still drawing power from it. We've gathered so much energy. The problem comes, we just draw small. We fetch 1 gallon. We fetch 1 cup. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We just fetch small. And we keep on filling. We keep on filling it up. But you see, the greater revelation is that in the New Testament, you don't just have it external. That power source is within you. And all you need to do is to stir it up once in a while. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So that any situation that comes inside that situation will be changed. You just stay it up like that river in the days of Jesus. That any person with a problem gets inside, the problem is solved. If you stay it up, if you speak to situation, they'll listen to you. Peace be still. In the name of Jesus, be done. In the name of Jesus, be done. In the name of Jesus, that happened. In the name of Jesus, this happened. In the name of Jesus, be done. In the name of Jesus, be done. My greatest security is the power of the Holy Ghost. I mean, I've not seen the problem yet, but I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's my greatest security. I told you what happened to my dad one time. He was mentally disabled. Something happened to him. He was behaving like something was wrong with him. My mother called me. I came to the house. He was eating and his hands were shaking. Food was falling. And he was trying to calm himself like nothing was wrong. And when I looked at this man, I knew this is not the man I know to be my father. While they were being emotional, I owned my car and I went back home. I entered my room. I didn't even tell my wife. I don't share problems. I only share results. When I got into my room, I locked the door. I began to speak from my place in the realm of the spirit. I commanded that demon from the root. Firstly, I told them to die, to hang themselves, to commit suicide. They should carry their load and commit suicide. Now, by the fire, as I was speaking, the next morning, I called, "How is my dad?" They say, "He's perfectly sound." Perfectly sound. Now, you have just 5 minutes. Get out from this body, you devil of darkness. But you see, when you don't do your assignments, Satan will come and try your house. See, Pastor Simon, but some of them are far. They're in Johannesburg, they're in South Africa, they're in UK. So how can I cover all of them? There's what we call the blood on the doorpost of your family. As long as there's blood on the doorpost, the enemy should go to the next door. It doesn't matter if the people inside were born again. We want all of our family members to be born again. But if they were not born again yet, God will still protect them through you. Now listen, you are the blood on the doorpost of your family. Such that when Satan comes, before he touches anything around your family, he comes to you. When he sees you, he goes back. You are like a gatekeeper. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? There is no access to this home except through me. So when they come to you, now listen, why things will start going bad is because they came to you and they saw free access. There is no wall. Are you listening to me? You must have this consciousness and understanding. I thought this thing somewhere, and one of our guys went back home, started practicing this, and his brother was supposed to die. He was a cultist or something, and somehow the brother had a vision, and the person that stopped him from dying was his younger brother. So he rushed to him to tell him that he was supposed to die, blah, 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 and the brother had to lead him to Christ. Why? He now has a consciousness. He was a cultist. He had graduated. He was supposed to die, but he had a vision that the reason he did not die was because of his younger brother. That's why the Bible says we have come to the city of the firstborn, the place of responsibility. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? No rubbish can happen in my family. It's not permitted to. Whether their head is correct or not, it is not permitted to happen. Do you understand? And as I'm doing that with one hand, I'm trying to make sure they are born again with the other hand. We can't just do that and be neglecting. You'll be giving them the word. You'll be making sure they receive the word of God. What is life without fulfilling the will of God? We'll make sure we fulfill the will of God. Our families fulfill the will of God. Our children fulfill. We'll lay structures for our children. So that we are seated in heaven and seeing our fifth generation preaching this gospel with fire. Full of responsibility. Consumed by the zeal of the Lord. Oh, glory to God. And he said the last thing in our mind is the thing we won't have the most. He said this money will walk upon it as dust. The Bible says you will lay up riches as dust. You will have a lot of it if you focus on the major. The minor will become very plenty. But if you focus on the minor, you will not even have the minor in itself. They that set their eyes on wisdom shall end in plenty. But they that set their eyes on rubies shall end in small. Money. Don't let it not be the major. God should be the major. Every other good thing will be added. No wonder any system you get into, you become the best. A man of God came to my office a few months back. Over 5 to 6, 7, 8 of my guys work in the firm. And I was complaining about something. I felt like it was done wrongly. And when we're trying to reconcile, thank God for his humility. While we're talking, he said some words to me. He said, Pastor Simon, I think people are jealous with your guys because they are super exceptional. Now, is that a coincidence that you all go to a firm and you are all are the best in that firm? That in every department, all our guys became the best stars in every department. That's not a coincidence. He said to me, I found that all of your guys are super excellent. There's something that you do to these people. It's the word. Just the word. Just the word. And you become the best in all that you do. Whatever you lay your hands on, it becomes blessed. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you now? And go back with this consciousness and win in life. I refuse to be a loser. I get into my business and I win. Every time. Never ever losing. In the name of Jesus. I can never fail in life. I say I can never fail in life. I don't fail. Me? Fail? Never. I can never fail. I only win. Anytime. Every time. Everywhere. In the name of Jesus. Say the gold am I. The silver am I. The castles up over 1,000 hills. They are mine. In the name of Jesus. I can never be subjected by any problem. In the name of Jesus, an effectual door has been opened, and I'm getting into victory. Nothing is stopping me. Nothing can stop me. Because God is for me. Nothing can stand against me. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Say, I can do all things. Everything, anything through Christ, who is my strength, who is my ability. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Say, Mother, come back to me now in the name of Jesus. Say, all my needs are met. All my needs are met. Everything I need money for. It's coming now. It's coming now. It's coming now. It's coming now. In the name of Jesus. You know, sometimes some people think we teach rubbish in this place. I don't know if that lady is here. Goodness, she gave a testimony one time. She said she was traveling to Kaduna. You all remember that testimony, right? She was kidnapped around Kaduna, Abuja Road. And oh, Holy Spirit. When they kidnapped her, they were going to kill all of them, she said, because the ransom was so heavy. And she kept on shouting. They couldn't even talk to her because she closed her eyes and started shouting. Oh, you know, she said some things I didn't want to say them because I don't feel it was necessary. I'm a son of daughter of Prophet Simon. But more importantly, she said, I have eternal life. Immortality is at work in me. I have eternal life. I cannot die. You all heard that testimony. She said it, and the guys told her, keep quiet. She would not keep quiet. She kept on praying it all. I have eternal life. I have eternal life. I've been taught the word in the name of Jesus. Mentioning my name, mentioning the name of the Holy Ghost. Whoosh. When I was hearing it here, I thought it was an action movie I was watching. And she said, the guy looked at her and said, what is your problem? Why are you not keeping quiet? And they now said they have released you. She now said they should release her and the people in her bus. What impetus? The guy said, we have released you. You did not do it. You said we should release people. She insisted. They now released the people. It's called the spirit of faith. Because sometimes when you look at people, you say, now this person do that thing. In fact, sometimes they may be backsliding. And they released the people, all of them. And she left. You know what blew my mind? I was teaching in Zoe conference on Kabod. I can't remember the meeting. While we're teaching, I didn't know the master, the person that kidnapped her, the leader was in church. Listen, we finished service. She did not tell us. True life story. Because he begged her that he didn't want to meet me. He was scared that maybe I will escalate the situation. Guess what? Wrote a letter to me, a note to me. She took his sister. He begged me not to tell you. This is the note from the person that was the leader of the people that kidnapped me. You can ask her. She's in town here. She's in Makoni. I read the letter. He said, I've been so touched, blah, blah, blah. A very sweet love letter. I said, he's going and he will never continue in that part anymore. What was she saying? I have eternal life. I cannot die. That was her only statement. Somebody saying, I beg you. Now that thing now saved them. No, if you are dead, die. Accept the death. If you are dead, say what you know. I shouldn't die. She came out stronger and gave the testimony here. We still have the video today. Oh, she said, I have eternal life. There was one again of Gina. Gina is mommy today. Gina was they collected her phone the first time. The second time, while we talked God's word, yes, she was going back home. The same place again with her new phone. They want to collect. Gina closed her eyes. If I perish, I perish. What was she doing? Rekapakasu takata. Liyabaro tusukata. Rebaya kalakada. Rekeboshi. Jumping and praying in tongues. They ran for their lives. They didn't understand what this lady was saying again. They got confused. I heard a story of Bishop Oyedepo that thieves came to his house to arrest him. And everybody was hiding. He came out. He said, not again. He said, angels, I command you now. Get these guys out of here. As he was speaking, ceiling, people were moving for ceiling. And when they went outside the thieves, they were running away. Meaning they couldn't see the angels, but the angels came out and were pursuing them. How about Bessie, that was a blessed memory? They came to attack this man of God and he drew a line. He said, if you know that you are yourself, cross the line. It looks like I'm doing you jege, like Einek. It sounded like that. He said, if you know who sent you, you know you have mine, cross this line. When they dared to cross, they said they were keeping their word gone on the ground. Are you listening to me? Let me tell you this other one. I'm feeling one kind because I'm feeling like you are thinking I'm lying. He was traveling and there was a baby and her mom crying out. So the baby was crying towards her mom like the mom was dead. And so because of his kind heart, they used kindness to capture him. He stopped. Driver, check that baby. Check the mom. They wanted to carry the mommy and the baby and they stood up and ran. And thieves came and surrounded them. A pastor. While his preaching was disturbing the town. And they said, say your last prayer. Firstly, they said, kneel down. Driver laid down. Gyazi. Man of God said, I cannot kneel down. As I'm saying the story, you can be guessing what I'm talking about. He said, I cannot. They said, kneel down. He said, I cannot. The driver drew Oga. Drew Oga. Drew Oga. Oga knelt down by verse. Then they now said, say your last prayer. The people that say we should kill you are pastors. Blah, 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 blah. He said, say my last prayer. In that little of his heart, a man does not die twice. Legeba kalatus epaya. See, you know, when you hear this thing, you'll be wondering, you don't know the speed of things. You think you don't have anything till you are in a situation. I have seen a woman bring her child back to life. Nobody told me this. When the hospital with one of our members, her child died. This woman opened up her whole body. Everybody ran away from the hospital, from the room. Doctor ran, I ran, everybody ran. Everybody ran away. Because me, I was hearing the story from outside. As I said, she's naked, oh, everybody's running. I just ran from where I am and continued running. They locked the door and left her inside. She raised her baby and said, God, you are the one that gave me this baby. This baby cannot die. It's not possible. God. And while she was speaking, the baby sneezed and came back to life. The Bible said, by faith, women, mothers receive their dead back to life. Do we have that kind of mothers in this place? Before husband come back, the baby has come back. Perfect. That's how that man of God did not die. We live by faith. We don't die. We live by faith. We live to declare the works of the Lord. Our lives should show the testimony of God. Our death does not. Are you listening to me? See, we are going to be entering into a wide demonstration of the Spirit. I am sounding the alarm. I'll be shouting it from Sunday. The season we have found our place as a church demands this wide variation of demonstrations. We can't do beyond, we can't do without this wide demonstration of the Spirit. I'm talking about a time, and the time is now. When people begin to see wild demonstrations of the Spirit, like Elijah saw, are you getting what I'm trying to say? Because it was the same God. We will not put ourselves in troubles. We will not go and invite troubles to ourselves. But what if trouble comes? We will never be 6 feet under the ground. Because we are conscious of angels. Now begin to pray. We are conscious of the supernatural. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. Bandits are not my end. Begin to pray. Boko Haram are not my end. Begin to pray. God is better than a bandit killing me. God is better than a Boko Haram killing me. God is better. Rapokapata. They will know there is a God in our land. They will know. Panshatakaba. Parakata liyakaba sobayakaya. Orekata tapaliyakata. Ena parakatiyakatoya.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.